Oh, mine, I'm still running.
Days on the diner, on, I'm really Ravoshi La Ravoshia, that we've got up to, I'm assuming. That's the carrot, that's where it would start. I'm really Ravoshi La Ravoshia. Okay. Let's do it.
Yes, right.
Ready for where? How many lines up?
Seven lines up on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Okay, and again, we're going to finish today. We should get into a few lines down on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. All right. Amalei Ravashi Lavavoshi, Breda Ravidi, Hesem Tanan, Lender in the Mishnah, Rabban Shimba Gamli Eloimer, Kosha Shah Ba'adam Shloshim Yom in the Nafal. Any a human being, a baby, if he lives to be 30 days old, he is not considered to be a Nafal. We know that he's a Bar Kayama, he's a surviving child. But Holo Shah Sveka Have, if he hasn't yet lived 30 days from the birth, he's a Suffolk. Will he survive? Will he not? He's a possible not Bar Kayama. He's not. He's a baby that might not survive. Okay, he's not considered to be a healthy on the map baby until 30 days. The Ismar, and it was stated, Meis Betoch Shloshim Yom Va'amda V'Niskatcha. If a Yavama, in the case where, let's say, Reuven dies within 30 days after the birth of his son, and his wife falls to Yibum. Upon falling to Yibum, the wife accepts Kedushin from somebody that's not the Yavam. She assumed, I have a child, I'm good to go, I can marry who I want, and she accepts Kedushin. Well, that's not necessarily true. She's a Suffolk Yavama, because maybe the child's a Nafal, it's only within 30 days, and the child's not a Bar Kayama, and she'll wind up being really a Yavama, right? She'll wind up really being Shayach and Yibam, an usher to her husband. What do we do? Now, within this 30-day period, no, she's a Suffolk Yavama, so the Yavam can't do Yibum, because she has a child that might survive. But he could technically do Chalitza until the child is 30 days old. She's still a Suffolk in the Parsha of Yibum. So says Ravina Mishmei the Rava Amar, Eshes Yisrael hi Chaletzes, Eshes Koini enu Chaletzes. Ravina says in the name of Rava that if the man that she married is a, or that she's not married yet, but she is engaged to, she accepted Kedushin from, Niskatcha, if that man is a Yisrael, then Chaletzes, the Yavam can do Chalitza. But v'im eshes kohen he ain't a chaletzes. If she became engaged, she accepted Kedushin from a kohen, then the Yavam cannot do chalitza. Why? Because we know a grusha, a divorcee is also to a kohen. A woman who had chalitza done to her, chalitza is like a grusha. It would be answering her to the husband, so we don't allow the Yavam to do chalitza. We say wait till the child survives 30 days, until he's 30 days old, and let that marriage, that union that's been formed, continue. Ramasharshia says in the name of Rava, no, anybody can do chalitza. That's the fact that she married a Kohen and the Yavam went and did chalitza to her, well, too bad. You know, and she loses that Kedushin. That Kohen's no longer going to be able to be married to her because now she's a chalitza. Too bad. Even if she marries becomes engaged to a Kohen, the Yavam cannot do chalitza. So the basic machlokus here is, what did Rava hold? Did he hold that when a woman falls within 30 days of the birth of her child, through Yibum, and accepts Kedushin from a Kohen, who is not the Yavam, can the Yavam do chalitza or not? According to Ravina, no, he can't. You have to respect that union. Don't destroy it. Let it wait until 30 days. And according to Rav Misharshia, yes, the Yavam can do chalitza, even though that will result, possibly, in the woman becoming usher to the man she accepted the condition from. I'm a Levina Levina Masharshi, or Venus is from Masharshi, but with I'm a Rava Hachi, but Safra Hadabay. Originally, Rava said, yes, the Yavam can do chalitza no matter what, but in the morning, at night, he said that, but with at night, he said it, but Safra Hadabay woke up in the morning, and he said, what was I thinking last night? And he said, no, he can't do chalitza. It doesn't make sense, right? He can't do chalitza if she accepts condition from a Kohen. Now, this is the end of the give and take here. Rav Misharshia says back to Ravina, Amalei, Sharisu, good, you're matering. You're matering her to this Kohen who she accepted Kedushin from, you're a Mekel. Yerava de Tishtru af Tarva. Yeratzen, you should also continue to mater Chelev, right? Chelev is in the Sakar. He's saying, you want to mater Yisurim, mater Yisurim, it's not my problem, right? It's Nishmai Geshef, what you want to do. Okay, well, that's enough for the Yisur of the time. So we say, over here, Gabemu Beres Chaveru Minekes Chaveru Nesula Kohen Mai. We said earlier that you can't marry. Had they said that you can't marry a woman who is a divorcee or is a almana, is a widow, and she's either pregnant or nursing. You can't marry her until the baby's born, 24 months until after the birth, which would be the end of the nursing period, because of a concern that were she to become pregnant, during pregnancy, the vlad could be nasa sandal. The Gemara really discussed the needle. We'll get there when we get there. The pregnancy, the vlad could become nasa sandal. He could be crushed by the new baby. Or minekes, she could lose her milk, and then the child would be considered besakana. Maybe he's not going to accept milk from another woman. They didn't have formula back then. Okay, let's continue. So, whatever. Not every child takes formula, etc. So we say, what if, so you can't marry that woman. 24 months until the baby's born, if she's pregnant or nursing, you can't marry that woman during that period. What if she became, and if he does marry her, just as well, if he does marry her, both opinions agreed he has to divorce her with a get. He has to divorce her with a get. The second husband who married her during the period when she was pregnant or nursing from a child who was conceived from the first union, he has to divorce her with a get. Now, what happens if the man who marries this woman is a Kohen? He's a Kohen. What's the din? Did the Rabbanah make a tekana for a Kohen or not? Did they make a special exception for a Kohen or not? Just like here, we didn't want to destroy the union of this woman and her Kohen by allowing the Yavam to do Chalitza. So through here, we might say, let him keep her. He might not have to divorce her. Maybe they'll just separate for 24 months. He might not have to get rid of her and give a get. Because once he gives a get, she's a Grusha, she's also to a Kohen. The Rabbanah note that the Rabbanah held that you can remarry her. They said divorce her. But you can remarry her after that 24-month period, after the baby's 24 months old, right? And she's no longer included in Minekes, so then you can remarry her. But a Kohen can't do that. A Kohen, if he divorces her, he loses her. So did they make a special exception for Kohen, or did they not? That's our question here. That's being posed. And again, that's really what Rav Ashi was asking to Rav Hoshea for the he was getting to see this case, et cetera, et cetera. What about here? Okay, would we make an exception for Kohen here or not? Amar Lei, he said back to him, Rav Hoshea ben Ravidi says to Rav Ashi, Hochi, Hashtav Oshlama Hassam, came in the Iker Rabbanah, the Pligiel, the Rishim Galil, the Yamri, Avagav, the Lashav, Vlad Malia, Hove. There you have the Rabbanah who argue with Rav Shimon Galil, and they say even a Vlad who's born for one day is considered to be a Bar Kayama. We assume he's a healthy living child. Rav Shimon Galil said you need 30 days until you can confirm that. The Rabbanah argue and say, no, even one day is a good child. So then, Gabi Yishas Kohen came into the law of Shurav Dinik Rabbanan. Then, in a case where the woman has accepted a condition from a Kohen, we will be sonach on the Rabbanan to say that this Yavam can't do Chalitza because there is a surviving child from the deceased brother. Right? We will rely on that minority opinion. Or except we tend to beat the majority, it's a Rabbanan, but whatever. We'll rely on that opinion in that case where it could be detrimental to a Kohen. But, Avohacha, come on, Navid. Over here, who are we going to do like? There's no opinion that would really hold that it's mutter for him to keep her and not divorce her. Were he to marry the woman within the 24-month period of the, or before that, for being muberis, till 24 months after the baby's born. Right? Avohacha, my Navid, what do we do? Ikiru b'meir ha'amar yotiv l'yach so lamas, ikiru b'anamar b'get. Right? If it's like Rabbi Meir says, yeah, if he marries a woman during that period, he has to divorce her and cannot remarry her. And if it's like the Rabbanan say he has to divorce her with a get, and he can remarry her. And for a Kohen, that's not going to work. So by no opinion do we have. We don't have an opinion out there to be soimeth to say, on this case where it's detrimental to a Kohen, I'll make an exception and rely on that opinion. By all opinions, it's detrimental to a Kohen. All right. Ismar, new statement. We already noted that a person cannot marry a woman after she is divorced or widowed for a period of 3 months in order to distinguish from a child born from the first union to a child born from the second union. What if he did kedushin to her during those 3 months? Ubaruch. And then he ran away after the kedushin, right? It was kedushin. There was going to be a vart. Everyone's there. Somebody didn't show up, right? Ubaruch. He runs away. So what's the deal? So one opinion says that Mishem Tinolei, you put him in Cherem, you declare him in Cherem. Note that Cherem often occurs on being transgressing a Derabanan, not respecting a Derabanan. This is an Issa Derabanan. He was over an Issa Derabanan. Put him in Cherem in this situation. And the other opinion says, no, Iruki Misatye, that is running away, saves him. The fact that he did Kedushin, but then ran away, shows that he wasn't really intending to marry her during that period and consummate the marriage during the three-month period, and he really wasn't intending to transgress the Derabanan. He thought that it was mutter to do Kedushin, and then show up, at the end of the 3 months, after the original husband's death or the divorce, and finish up the marriage. He held it was mutter, right? His running away shows he didn't intend to transgress the Rabbanan, therefore he wouldn't be deserving neither. And Hava Uvda V'yam Rahamilahu Rafram, Irukim Misasi. And this actually happened, there was an instance of this, Rahamilahu Rafram, and Rafram decided that the halacha is Irukim Misasi, his running away saves him. Okay. Now we're going to get into the case. I'm going to discuss this. This is the case of the end of our Mishnah, and this is going to be what we'll call the case, the title of our daf. And I'm going to refer to it a few times. We're going to have five variations in this case throughout our daf. Case number one, simple case. Reuven dies. Leah falls to Yibam, to Shimon, who is Reuven's brother. Shimon marries Leah within 3 months after Reuven's death. Bad move. Not supposed to do that. 7 months later, or really for the record, it could be 6 months and a day later, because we see Kol Yilezel Shivim Lezel Mikatorim. We'll get that Nida also. 7 months later, Leah gives birth. Well, we're Vesafik. Is this a Ben Tisha, a son that's born from a 9-month pregnancy to Reuven, the deceased brother? Or is this a Ben Shiva, a son that's born from a 7-month pregnancy to Shimon, the Yabam? And that has a lot of nafkaminas. That would determine, is Leah a Yavama, and the whole thing's good, she's married to Shimon, or is she the wife of Reuven, who never really was eligible to Yibam, and Shimon was over in Issachares? And we call that Vlad, we call that child a Suffolk, and we treat it as the case as a Suffolk. They bring in Hashem Toloi, we say the Vlad is kosher. That child, note, for the record, even though we have the Suffolk, the child is kosher, Mimanafshach, because if he's the child of Reuven, so then great, that's totally mutter. And if he's the child of Shimon, well then, good, because that means that when Leah fell, she wasn't pregnant, really, with anything. He became pregnant from Shimon. So that child is 100% not a mamzer. Totally kosher. He could be the biggest. He could be the Kohen Gadol if he wanted it to be. And we'll see if the Gemara actually says that. That's fine. I didn't think of that example. All right, fine. So let's find. So that's what we're going to get into. Okay. And that's enough. Let's go. So that's going to be our case. Remember that case. It really is in the Mishnah. So I'm just throwing it out again. Suffolk Ben Tisha asks the Gemara. I'm a Rav of Nachman. Lema halachah Rav Nosham. Rav Nosham Tisha Yavin. Says Rav of Nachman. Why are you mesupik? Is it Ben Tisha Ben Shiva? Most women give birth after a 9-month pregnancy. 7-month pregnancy doesn't happen very often. So assume that he's the son of the first. Why are we treating it like a suffolk? Because Rav Nosham Tisha Yavin. Most women give birth after 9 months. Amar Lei Nosham Didam Shiva Yavin. Rav Nachman says the women in my city give birth after 7 months, or some give birth after 7 months. I said most women give birth after 9 months. Those women in your city who give birth after 7 months, they're not the majority. So what are you pointing out? So Amalei Hachi Kamina. He said to him, this is what I mean to say. Rav Nashim, yeah, the Tisha Umiyat L'Shiva. Most women give birth after 9 months. Some give birth after 7 months. Kaliyat L'Tisha Uber Nikar L'Shlish Yemel. A general indication that she's going to give birth after 9 months. We say all who give birth after 9 months, the child, the pregnancy is recognizable. Meaning your stomach is popping out after into a third of the pregnancy, which would be 3 months into the pregnancy. Vizu hoyovelo hukar ubra, and this woman, the case is, we're talking, that it wasn't hukar ubra. She didn't have, her stomach was not recognizable, l'shlish yameha, right? The fetus was not recognizable, l'shlish yameha, into 3 months into the pregnancy. So israeli ruba, she loses the rove, and therefore we have a suffix. She doesn't have that rove. Because if Rove women give birth after 9 months, but then in that case, usually they're recognizably pregnant after 3 months, and this woman was not. That's our case. She doesn't have the Rove. Okay. So we ask that E. coli yelonis l'tishu bernikolis l'shimel, ha medelov hukar ubra l'shlishimel, ha medelov hukar l'shlishimel ubra vada yipar shiva l'basrahu. So we ask, well, let's turn it the other way. If the case is that she was not recognizably pregnant after 3 months, and all women who have 9 month pregnancies are recognizably pregnant at that time, then you see that it's the son of this as the 7 month pregnancy, and he's the son of the Basri, he's the son of the second guy, Shimon. Right? What are we mesupik in? That should show us that Vada Bar Shiva LeBasrihu. Ela Ema, rather, what it means to say is The case is Robi Aletis Letitia, Uber Nicholas Lucianel. Most women who have a 9-month pregnancy, not all, but most women have a 9-month pregnancy, the child is recognizable, i.e., she is recognizably pregnant 3 months into that pregnancy, right? Uber Nicholas Lucianel, Bahamina Lahukur Lishlishianel, Israele Ruba. And this case, she was not recognizably pregnant, so she loses the Rove. But it's only most women of the 9-month pregnancy that would have Hukra Ubra Lishlishianel. It still could be a 9-month pregnancy. It's still a Miyat. So we have a Miyat and a Miyat. We don't really have the case of the Rove. And therefore we're Mesupit. It's obviously exceptional. It wasn't recognizable. It could be a 9-month unrecognizable pregnancy or a 7-month pregnancy. But those two have equal possibilities. And if we're stuck with Mesupit. Halacha that comes out. If she was recognizably pregnant, we would assume a 9-month pregnancy. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa. Rishon royally is coming. Although the child of that, this child, who's the Safek, we'll call him Levi. The Safek, the child that might be a Ben Shiva Rishon, Ben Tishla Rishon, Ben Shiva Achron. We'll call him Levi. He's the Rishon, right? Tana Rabbanan, Rishon royally is coming. Although Vishini Mamzer Misafek. The case is like this. Levi, that child that's a Suffolk, maybe he's Reuven's son, maybe he's Shimon's son, we'll call him Levi. Well, Levi, we said he's kosher Amanav Shach. Reuven's son, he's good. If he's Shimon's son, then that was Yibum, and he's good also. He could be the Kohen Gadol. But what if, let's for example, we'll say, that when Shimon took Leah, Reuven's previous wife, in Yibum, she became pregnant at that time. Not, he didn't know she was pregnant. That would be a little hard to say that she became pregnant later with two pregnancies. Let's skip that. He kept her. That's really what Rashi says. He kept her, and Shimon kept her, and she became pregnant from Shimon. Shimon said, you know, he assumed he didn't know, and he assumed that Levi was his son, 7-month pregnancy. Oh, wow, right? She didn't look pregnant in 3 months already. He assumed she was his wife, and he kept her. Shimon kept Leah, and they had another child. Then we're going to call him the Sheni. That's called the Sheni in our Gemara. This second child that Shimon had with Leah, that's certainly Shimon's child, but we're Mesupik. Again, Leah may have been pregnant when she fell to Yibum with a Bar Kayama. We don't know, because it might have been Shimon's child. So Leah's a Suffolk Yavama, i.e. Suffolk his wife, a Suffolk not his wife, Suffolk is Yakari, it's Yishasach. So what's the status of that second child? Well, he's a Suffolk Mamzer, because he could be a child of a marriage, or a child of a Znos Bikari, Bistakari. Good to bad, we don't know. Okay. So what's the status of that second child is going to be the discussion of our Gemara at this point. That's case number two. That's the case, the variation number two of our major case of the Daf. There's a Suffolk Ben Tishla Rishon, Suffolk Ben Shiva L'Achron. Here, Shimon keeps Leah after she bears Levi after 7 months. And then the second child, we'll call him Yehuda. What is Yehuda's status? Suffolk Yishas Ach, Mamzer, or Suffolk Yavama? Maybe she's a Yavama. And this second child of that union is totally kosher. So he's a Suffolk Mamzer. And what's the halacha of a Suffolk Mamzer is going to be our discussion. Tanur Abundant. Rishon Royally is Kohen Gadol, Vashini Mamzer is Suffolk. The first one is a Kohen Gadol. Levi is a Kohen Gadol. Yehuda, the second child born, is a Mamzer is Suffolk. He's a Suffolk Mamzer. He's a possible Mamzer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, a Mamzer is Suffolk. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says there is no Mamzer is Suffolk. What does that mean? And that's going to be the discussion. Note in this machlok, Supaskin, Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, Kavanaki, the halacha will be like Rabbi Eliezer. So the question is, what does he mean? Mike, I'm a rabbi, Hochik, I'm a Rishon royally, it's going to go to the Sheni Sabbath Mamas of the Ram Zeret. What he means, this rabbi says, this is how the Braiser reads. The first one's ready to be a Kohen Gadol. The second one is a Sabbath Mamzer, and he's also to marry a Mamzeret. Because again, maybe a Sabbath Mamzer is maybe a Mamzer, and if he's also to marry a normal Jewish woman, but maybe he's a kosher, and he's also to marry a Mamzeret. So he's stuck, he can't marry a Mamzeret. That's what he means to say. He's a Suffolk Mamzer. Rabbi Eliezer ain't a Suffolk Mamzer. Elevada Mamzer and Mutba Mamzer. So Rabbi Eliezer says we don't treat a Suffolk Mamzer as a Suffolk Mamzer. We treat a Suffolk Mamzer as a Vada Mamzer, according to Abaye here. Mutba Mamzer, you can marry a Mamzer because you treat him as a Vada Mamzer. Mamzer, but Mamzer is Mutter. A Mamzer can marry a Mamzer. Rava Amar, Hachik Amar. Rava says no, this is the give and take between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rishon royally is Kohen Gadol, Vashini Mamzer, Vadai Nesafek. The Tanakhama says that the Rishon is royally to be a Kohen Gadol. The second child, right, that was Levi. Levi could be a Kohen Gadol. Yehuda, however, right, later on born, is a Mamzer, Vadai Nesafek. Umat Mamzer. So according to the Tanakhama, he's a Mamzer, Vadai Nesafek. he is a Safek Mamzer. We treat him as a Vadai from a Safek Mamzer. We treat him as a Vadai Mamzer. And he's Mutter to marry Mamzeres. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Ein Vadai Mamzer Mesafek. Rabbi Eliezer's point when he says Ein Mamzer Mesafek is coming to say, not that there is no Safek Mamzer, you treat him as a Vadai, but rather the other way. Ein Vadai Mamzer Mesafek. You can't make a Vadai Mamzer from a Safek. El a Safek Mamzer. He's left as a Safek Mamzer, but Usur ben Mamzeres. And he's Usur in a Mamzeres. So they're going to, both opinions exist. It's just who says what. Do we say Suffolk Mamzer is like a Vada Mamzer with Mamzeres, or Suffolk Mamzer is a Suffolk Mamzer, also from Mamzeres? Abai, Sister Belias ben Yaakov, holds that Suffolk is Kavada and with Mamzeres. Rava says he holds Suffolk is Kasuffolk and it's also from Mamzeres. Fine. Let's continue. The Kamithli Gibbet Rabbi Lazar, and this is really a machloka as we find elsewhere, that they would be arguing in. The Kamithli Gibbet Rabbi Lazar, the argument is Rabbi Lazar, now in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says, Vadan Bavadan Mutter, Vadan Mamzer, Vadan Mamzer is Mutter, Bavadan Bespaken, Bespaken, Bavadan, Bespaken, Bespaken, Osir. But a Vadan Mamzer can't marry a Suffolk Mamzer, and even a Suffolk Mamzer can't marry a Suffolk Mamzer. Why? Because maybe this one's a Mamzer and this one's not. You know, so each one has its Suffolk. So even a Suffolk Mamzer and another Suffolk Mamzer can't get married because maybe one's a Mamzer and one's a kosher. We don't know. Only a Vadai Mamzer and a Vadai Mamzer can get married, according to Rabbi Elazar. Note, that's obviously the halacha of Rava, who says that Suffolk Mamzer cannot marry a Vadai Mamzeres. Fine, that would be following Rabbi Elazar. The Elohein, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Elohein spaken, what is the case of Suffolk Mamzer, given by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, continuing his statement, what is the case of Suffolk Mamzer? Shtuki v'asufi v'kuti. A shtuki, a child who says, when he calls mommy or daddy, they shush him, because he doesn't know who his mother or father are. And a sufi, he was left in the market, right? Either of those children are abandoned children, we assume that they came from a union that is probably, might not be, have been a permissible union, and therefore he's a Suffolk Mamzer. V'kuti. And a kusi, because the kutim didn't hold of kedushin. So if somebody did kedushin to a woman, it was a kusi, she would just go, and she would not count it. Say a Jewish guy did kedushin to her. She wouldn't count it, because they didn't hold of kedushin in general. She would go and marry somebody else. And therefore, you would really could wind up the marriage where she's really an ishus ish to the guy who did kedushin to her. So we don't know if somebody did kedushin to her, so they're all Suffolk Mamzers. A kuti in general, we treat it as a Suffolk Mamzer. Okay, so those are the cases. And again, they cannot marry a Suffolk Mamzer. Only a Vada Mamzer can marry a Suffolk Mamzer. Only a Vada Mamzer can marry a Vada Mamzer. A Suffolk Mamzer cannot get married, in accordance with Rabbi Lazar's opinion. And that would follow to be the opinion of Rava in what is the opinion of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. All right. The Amar of Yehuda, says of Yehuda, Rava, Lacha, Kibbe Lazar. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. Kamrisa kame the Shmuel says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was originally a talmid of Rav and then became a talmid of Shmuel. He says when I told this before Shmuel, Amar Ali said to me that Hillel Shana Asara Yuchsin Olam Bavel. Hillel taught that there were 10 levels of Yichus that came up from Bavel. Kohanim Levim Israeli Chalalei, right? Kohanim were lost their kedusha. Chalalim Geirim converts. Charurei freed slaves who become Jewish upon being freed. Mamzerim, the Sine are the Sinim who converted in the days of Yeshua. It's not clear in the days of Yeshua that they converted, but we say they converted. So you say the Sine, they converted. Shtuke, these were Canaanites who converted. Shtuke, Vasufe, who we already discussed, are Suffolk Mamzerim, that are children who do not have identified parents. Vakulin, Mutarin, Lava, Zebaza. And they can all marry each other. One that we're going to say, simplify it in Kedushin. If anyone wants to see the Rashi, it gives us a heads up on what we'll see in Kedushin. For our purposes, Bekulan, Matar, and Labazabazah, for other purposes, means they can each marry at their own level. That's enough to say for our daf, because it really overlaps of who can marry who. We're going to skip that exactly. But for sure, Kulan, Matar, and Labazah, there is permissible marriage across levels, and certainly on the same level. Always on the same level. A Shtuki can marry a Shtuki, and a Sufi can marry an Asufi. Okay, and to a certain extent, there is cross permissibility as well. Fine. So you see, a Suffolk Mamzer is mutter b'Suffolk Mamzer. Oh, maybe one's kosher, one's not. It's because we're treating a Suffolk Mamzer like a Vadai, right? Which would be the opinion of Elizabeth ben Yaakov according to Abaye. Suffolk is kavadai, is mutter b'Mamzeres. So he says. finishes Rabbi Yehuda when I told over, but to Shmuel that Rav Paskin's like a Belazer. Shmuel said back to me, "But Amarta halachik a Belazer. How can you say halachik a Belazer when Hillel himself says that a Shtuki is mother b'Shtuki?" Right? So, Abaye, as we already spoke out, Abaye, Sabalach Shmodan Allah Kehilim, look at the little Lesbian Yaakov, look at the Hilchas, look at the Tikshay Hilchas, Abaye says, Allah is like Shmuel, that Sabakit Mamzer is Mutabah Sabak Mamzer, Stuki can marry a Stuki, and therefore we're really treating it like a Vadai Mamzer, and that, because he holds like Shmuel, who passed into Lacha like Hillel. And if it puts Rabbi Elias ben Yaakov's opinion, according to Halacha, that there shouldn't be a Halacha, there shouldn't be a Machlokas between two opinions that we should paskin. We should paskin Shmuel, and we should paskin Rabbi Elias ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elias ben Yaakov makes a vague statement, Ein Mamzer Nesafik. He'll be explained that statement in accordance with what he holds as the Halacha, according as is Shmuel, that a Safik is Kevadai. Ein Mamzer Nesafik, a Safik is Kevadai, Mutabah Mamzeres. Fine. Rabba Savar Lach Rav to Amar Halacha Kribal Azar Umokil Alir Belis Ben Yaakov B'Dehilchus Gezel B'Tishe Hilchusah Hilchusah. Rav, who says that Savik Mamzer is Asur B'Mamzeres, we treat him as a Savik, holds like Rav, who says that Halacha is like Kribal Lazar, that Shtuki cannot marry a Shtuki, a Savik can marry a Vadai, a Savik can marry a Savik, because we're treating him like a Savik. And I'll put Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Yaakov according to that opinion, will explain his Shita in accordance with that opinion, in order that the opinions, who we pass in Halacha like, should correspond. It should work out. We shouldn't have a stira. Amar Abaye, Mana Amin Allah, the Kol Sveik Elav Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Yaakov. And remember our case study. Don't lose track, because we're going to lose track. We're going to come back to that. So just remember the case. Amar Abaye says Abaye, Mana Amin Allah, the Kol Sveik Elav Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Yaakov, Kavada Meshavelei. Where do I know that every subject of Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Yaakov is treated like a vada? He treats the subject like a vada. The time with the price of Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Yaakov, Nashim Harbe, the Enya Dea, Al Ez Mehen Ba. A person, he had relations with many women, he doesn't know who he had relations with. The Cain, he, Shabo, Aleh, Nashim Harbe. And so too, her, in the case where many men, she was with many men, and she has no idea that Enya Das, Me Ez Mehen Kabla. She has no idea who she became pregnant with. She doesn't know who the father is. So in that situation, it could happen that when these children of these people, of these unions, marry, they won't know who the father is, who the mother is, etc. It could come out that a father can marry his daughter and a brother can marry his sister. And this malakal aretz kula mamzerin, the entire world could be filled with mamzerin. And this we say, the world was filled with zima. The land was filled with zima, filled with iniquity, like word zima, right? Just no, it's depravity. Umala arz zima. Fine. The azay nema umala arz zima. So we see these are only suffik mamzerim, right? We don't know exactly what happened. We don't know exactly that there'll be a union that a brother will marry a sister, a father will marry a daughter, because we don't have identified parents, right? That the parents really are. So it could happen. Right? It could be. When these two people get married, we don't know that they're really related. It could be they're related, and he's saying that their children will be mamzerim umala arzima. So we see he's stating a case of suffik mamzer as vada mamzeris. He's discussing a case of suffik mamzer as vada mamzeris. So we see suffik is kevadai. Fine. So what about Rava? Rava melechoh chikamer zumahi. Zima is Rashi Tevis zumahi. This, what is it? Zu mahi. This, what is it? So, as to say, it's a suffix. Suffix mamzeris is expressed as zima. Mala art zima. He's saying the world will be filled with suffix mamzeris. It's not an expression of vada mamzeris. He holds a suffix as a suffix. All right. Yasser al kain. New discussion here. Yasser al kain. I'm a Rabbi Elizabeth ben Yaakov. Even more than that, Rabbi Elizabeth ben Yaakov, lo yisad amishib b'minin zuvi yelich v'yisay yishib b'minin cheresh yim yistav gizel zeven nitsa ach nosis choso. Person should not marry a woman in one medina, and they go and marry another woman in another medina, in another province. Why? Because maybe they won't know about each other. The children of those marriages won't know about each other, and maybe there'll be a shidduch later on. Oh, there's this really nice girl, she lives in Me'er Aliyam in this medina, make a shidduch, and it could be that the brother and sister, right? So, that's a statement. That was a statement that Elizabeth Ben Yaakov said to avoid the case of Mamzeris. Just like he said there, this woman who's Mazana with so many people, well, that's a bad thing. So through here, this is also a bad situation of Riyasudit. Aini, is this true that you can't marry a woman, can't be married to two women? This is a space where you could be married to two women, or in general. It could be back-to-back. It doesn't have to be married at the same time. You shouldn't marry one woman in one medina, and then you go ahead and marry another woman in another medina. That should be discouraged. Right? Aini, is this true? Ha-Rav, ki ikul dardashir. When Rav and Rav Nachman traveled to these cities, they declared they had their house elsewhere. They lived elsewhere, and they traveled to these cities. They said, "Who wants to get married today?" Right? They wanted to get married right there. I'm in town. No, let's get married, somebody. So fine. So that's what they said. So we'll get into this. So you see, it's mutter. You can just marry. You go around marrying people in different, you know, 50 women, 50 states. So we say, Shani Rabbanan the Pika Shemayu. The answer is it's different by the Rabbanan the Pika Shemayu because their name is publicized. The child of that union will be called by their famous father. Oh, that's the child of Rav. That's the child of Rav Nachman. And it won't come to confusion. The son of Rav Nachman will know when he meets her, oh, this is the daughter of Rav Nachman. So there's no concern. The Amar Rav, we say, how could they, just the general question now, how could that have happened? That they came, these Rabbanim came, and they declared who wants to get married on that day. Amar Rav, the lacha is, we call it Dam Chimud, that the woman, when you ask a woman to marry you, and she says yes, that we assume that she may be personita out of excitement. Maybe she became a nita. So the you have to wait shivin akiyim. You can't get married that day that you decide to get married. So you have to wait shivin akiyim. So we answer, how can they get married that day? We say rabbanon shluchim have a mashatvei yomodil hu. The key is that these rabbanon sent shluchim to declare, oh, this famous rav is coming in 7 days. Who wants to get married? And then 7 days later there was a chasana. That's the case. The boy say, "What we could say the rabbanon yuchidi ba'almahu demiachti lahu." The mamari the damim lemishis the pas besolo, lemisha ain lem pas besolo. Fine. What are the cases that the rabbanon came, and they said, "I need all this time. I got like 20 minutes. I don't know what we're going to do with ourselves." All right. So you're saying, I don't know. Maybe we'll take karbanos today. Okay. So you're saying, "In a damim lemishis the pas besolo, lemisha ain lem pas besolo." So maybe. So you say, "In a damim lemish." Right. So what happens is the other answer is that they came and they didn't actually get married. They were just miyached women to themselves. They said, "Who wants to marry? I want to marry you. Great. I have someone. We'll set a chasana for 12 months. I'll be back in a year. We'll get married. Great." So why? Because ain't a dime mishish lapas pesol. Mishish ain't lapas pesol. Somebody who has bread in his basket, he knows he's engaged. It's going to happen. You know, he already went through it. He's covered. He'll have a certain yeshiva das, and that's what they wanted. They went to have a certain yeshiva das. Also, because they're traveling, maybe they were traveling to different cities. They shouldn't, you know, a person's traveling. They should have a wife in this city. They shouldn't miss their wife, etc. Maybe they would be nitzel from her hurim. Who knows what the idea is? But we say that somebody who has bread in his basket is better than somebody. It's not similar to somebody who doesn't. You know, when you're dating, your mind's like all over the place. You know, you see somebody who's totally out of it, or he's like he's losing this. He's dating. So this is like this idea that mishish lepas pesola. You're covered. Okay, fine. Tana Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. So Rabbi taught Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, "Lo yisa adam ishto v'daitel legarsha." A person. This is just another statement of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov because that previous statement was again, you can't marry these two women in different provinces. "Lo yisa adam ishto v'daitel legarsha." A person can't marry a woman with intention originally to divorce her. Mishum shenemar, it says, "Al tachrish al reyecho ra v'yoshev levetach itach." Then when somebody is relying on you and you know that they're coming in relying on you on something, you can't do it. Al tachrish al reyecho ra. You can't have a plan to disappoint them. All right, let's continue. So we say, Savik v'yobam, shebo l'choluk b'nichse misna. Case number three, deviation number three of our case. Reuven dies, Leah falls to Shimon. Within 7 months after Shimon takes her in Yibam, she has the baby Levi, who's the Savik ben Tishla Rishon, Savik ben Shivala Achron. And then what happens is, Reuven's Yerusha is being discussed. The estate is now being discussed. Who will Yarshin? So we have a possibility that Levi is the son of Reuven. He should inherit the entire estate. Or maybe Levi is the son of Shimon, the brother of Reuven. And the Yerusha should go to Reuven's brother, Shimon. He should inherit the entire estate. So we say something when Shimon and Levi come to divide the Suffolk, this child, and the Yobam, Shimon, Shabo l'cholik b'nichsei misna. They come to divide the property of the mace. Suffolk amar anabar misna hu v'nichsei diyu. The Suffolk will say, "I'm this child of Reuven. I'm the son of the deceased. I should get the property." Via b'mamar aparai didiyat. V'leis v'chav l'midi b'nichsei. Right? Shimon says to him, "Look, you're my son, Levi. I'm the brother of Reuven. I get the property, and I'm not dead yet. You don't have a right to steal my property yet. Right? I'm not dead yet. I don't owe you anything. Havi mamin amut b'suffolk." So that's mamin amut b'suffolk. And the din is that's mammon, that's money, that there is no, it's left in suffix. There is no party that has, we could say really has a right, has a grasp on the property as is. There's just two equal claims to it. That's called mutl b'safek, it's left in doubt. Mammon and mutl b'safek, choken. And the mammon and mutl b'safek, the halacha is choken, split it. So they split it 50-50. That's the halacha. Get to that, like, but metziah, all these halachas. Safek. A suffix. New case. Case number four. Reuven dies. And we have this case where Reuven's died. Shimon takes Leah and Yibum. 7 months after that, Levi is born. Shimon dies before Reuven's estate is distributed in inheritance. It's distributed in Yerusha. Shimon ever had other children with whoever his wife was prior to taking Levi, prior to taking Leah and Yibum. So what we're left is Reuven's state falls. It might go to Levi alone, who's a Suffolk Ben Tishah L'Rishon, Suffolk Reuven's son, or it might pass through Shimon. Shimon will be the opposite party. Levi might be the son of Shimon. It might go to Shimon, the brother of Reuven, but Shimon is already dead. And then Reuven's estate would pass on to Shimon's children, in which case Shimon's children, as well as possibly Levi, who is a Suffolk child of Shimon, would distribute the estate among themselves. So it's Suffolk ubinei yobum. Levi and Shimon's children are arguing who will inherit the estate of Reuven. Shimon died before the estate was established.
Well, Levi for sure has some claim.
Seemingly. We'll see how it plays out. So we'll see. The Gemara here, Baruch Hashem, the Gemara actually tells us the claims, because otherwise it would be like, okay, fine. So here the Gemara like speaks it all out. Suffolk b'nei yobim shabol l'chol b'nechsei misna, a Suffolk, and the children of Levi, Suffolk, b'nei yobim, the children of Shimon, shabol l'chol b'nechsei misna, who come to divide the estate of Reuven. Suffolk amar hu gavra bar misna hu, he tells him, look, hu gavra meaning I myself, am the son of Reuven, v'nechsei didiyu, I inherit the estate. No, you're a brother. You're also a son of Shimon. Then you have a portion in our general distribution of the estate. So Rabbanan, what happened? So Rabbanan came to Rav Mesharshi, Lamemar Masnisanhi. The Rabbanan wanted to say that this is similar to the Mishnah that we'll see later on, that Nan, Huenu Yorish, Oisim Behem Yorishin Oso. That it says the following. The halacha is that you have this case of bench, not our case, not Yibum. A man is married to a woman. He divorces her. Less than 3 months later, she marries another guy. And 7 months after that, there's a baby. Suffolk ben Tishah L'Rishon, Suffolk ben Shiva L'Achron. That baby's a Suffolk. Both of those men have their children who are Vada children from them, from their own wives. Now, when they die, one of them dies, those two men, the Suffolk ben Tishah L'Rishon, Suffolk ben Shiva L'Achron might want to inherit the estate together with the Vada children of one of those men. Those Vadai children can tell him, look, prove to me that you're a brother. Maybe you're a union of the other guy, you're from the union of the other guy, and you don't have any right in our estate. And those Vadai children will take the estate. Who in a Yerish Oysum? He doesn't Yarsh with those Vadai children. He doesn't have rights to them, but the Haim Yarshin Oso. In a case where this Savik Ben Tishal, recent Savik Ben Shivla Akron, he himself dies, and it's in the case where the Yerusha will go to brothers, each side, the children of the second and the children of the first can both claim, he's our brother, we get his estate. They both have that claim, and therefore Dale Yarsh and him will split the estate, because it's Mammon and Suffolk. Fine. So we wanted to say, this is a similar case, V'hacha Ipcha, here it'll play out the opposite way. How is that? Has some Amrele there, in that case, the Mishnah, they said to him, I say, right, V'shakul, they told the Suffolk, the Vadai children told the Suffolk, you bring a raya and take a piece of the inheritance. And hacha amelahu aisiraya v'shakulu. Here he has a vaday right to the estate, as Moshe already told us. He has a vaday right to the estate to some extent. So here, either as the full right as the son of Reuven, or at least a portion as the son of Shimon. So he should be able to tell them aisiraya v'shakulu. I should get the whole thing, and you bring a raya, and you take it because he's the stronger hand. Amar is this back to them. So Rabbanan wanted to say this should be the same case. It should go to Levi. It should go to Levi. And the children of Shimon, they'll have to bring a raya. Amar Lahu Misharshi Midami is really similar. Hesem, Inu, Vadai V'Iu Suffolk. Over there, Inu, Vadai V'Iu Suffolk. Hocho, Aide V'Aide Suffolk. There, inu vadai v'iyu safik. There, vadai, he's a safik, right? So therefore, those children are a vadai. They have, they for certain have a right to the estate, the full estate. Therefore, they get the full estate. He's a safik if he has a right to the estate at all. In that case, of the Mishnah, right, where he's a safik, they're the vadai children of one of the two men. But hachai vadai safik. But over here, even Levi himself, although he has a certain claim to the estate, he doesn't have a vadai claim to the full estate. Over there, the children, the surviving children, who are for sure the children of either the second or first guy, a case in the Mishnah, they have a full right to the estate among themselves. Full right. Certain right to the full estate. The Safik, this guy who may have been a child of this union or another union, doesn't have a certain right to that estate, to share in that estate. They get it. He has to bring a proof that he has a share in it. But in our case, Levi doesn't have a full right to the full estate, even though he has a stronger hand. We wouldn't say, we'll give it to Levi because he's for sure has a right to it, and they may have a right to it. Right? They're 50-50. And he for sure has the right to it in some capacity. So we give it to him, and they'll have to bring a raya. It's not the same thing. Here, Levi himself is mesupik if he has a right to the full estate or a right to a part of it. He doesn't have a certain right to the full estate. Therefore, we're not going to say he's the muhsuk. He's the one who has the right, the stronger hand to have that full claim, and they have to bring a proof. We're not going to say that here. It's not the same thing. So if you want to compare a situation, and I'll leave for the record, we don't actually answer the case. What happens where Reuben's estate passes through to Bnei Shimon or Levi? We don't answer it. I'm not going to confuse anybody. If you want to see what comes out from that, see Rashi. Rashi discusses what his idea should be from that. I think it's Divrei Masa B'Nichsi Abim Gu. No, Rashi here in the Daf here discusses what he thinks should come out from that estate. And fine, but I don't want to confuse them. We're just going to keep moving. The Gemara just doesn't answer that case. So we say, what is the comparable case to that case of the Mishnah? We said our case presented is not comparable to the halacha of the Mishnah. What would be a case that is comparable to the halacha of the Mishnah? It would be, idami lemasnis lahadamya. If you want to compare it to that Mishnah, what would be a similar situation in our case study of our daf? What would be a similar situation to that halacha of the Mishnah? It would be comparable to Safik ubnei yabam shebo l'cholok b'nichsi yabam gufei. The case would be, again, Reuven dies, and we discussed, and Shimon passes away before the estate is divided. We have two claims to Reuven's estate, Levi and the Bnei Shimon. And we don't know what really comes out from that discussion. The Gemara doesn't end it. We showed him discuss it. The Gemara didn't end it. However, what happens to Shimon's estate? Shimon died before Reuven's estate was divided. Well, Shimon has his estate also. And on that, there's a claim, Vadai claim to the full estate from the Shimon's certain children, and a Safek claim to the estate from Levi, the Safek Ben Tishah Luishin, Safek Ben Shimon La'achrin. That is exactly the case of that Mishnah, that the Vadai can say to the Safek, bring a raya, bring us a proof that you have a right, that you're really a child, and then we'll divide it with you. Until then, we get it and you don't. And the Gemara will speak this out, that the Hesem Amrei Lei, that there they'll say to him, I say raya da chona v'shokol, that bring a proof that you're a brother and take it. Case number five, deviation number five of our case study. Safek ubnei yabam shebol l'chol b'nichsi yabam l'basit d'polig yabam b'nichsi misna. Number five is a combination of all the other cases. The case is a Safek and the Bnei Yabam. The case is Reuven dies, his estate falls down, there's Shimon and there's Levi. His estate is debated upon between Shimon and Levi, and the property is distributed between Shimon and Levi. Half goes to Shimon, half goes to Levi. So then what happens is that then Shimon dies, and Levi wants to claim, because Shimon's is a lot wealthier than Reuven was. He's a millionaire, right? Levi wants to say, well, I certainly have a right to some property in Shimon's estate, even though we've already split Reuven's estate. Because he'll say, is it Shimon's died afterwards, right? So Levi will say that either give me, we'll speak it out, let's read that from the Gemara. But we'll speak it out right now. He'll say, either give me, if you're going to treat me like a son of Shimon, then I should have a right to the division of his estate. with together with you, with the B'nai Shimon. However, if you're going to treat me as the son of Reuven, then give me the half of Reuven's estate that Shimon took. So either way, I have some claim to Shimon's property. Therefore, he wants to say, since I have some claim, we'll redo it. I'll give back my half of Reuven's estate that I took, and I'll treat myself as the son of Shimon. I'll say that the full estate of Reuven should pass to Shimon, and then I'll take a share in Shimon's estate as a son of Shimon. Because either way, I have a claim to his estate. So let's play it out as a son of Shimon. That's his argument. Now, note that there would be undoing, in order to treat him as a son of Shimon and take a share in his estate, that would be reversing and undoing the original division of Reuven's estate, which addressed him as a son of Reuven. Let's continue. So is that what happens? Is that permissible or not? But we say, no, Shimon's estate goes to the children of Shimon. And they would have a vada against the Suffolk situation. Okay. So, Amri, they say, they say, bring a proof that you're a brother and take it. You're not necessarily a brother. Bring a proof that you're a son of Shimon. And then you can have a share in Shimon's estate. Amar Lahu, he says back to them, Suffolk, the Suffolk will say back to him, Levi will say back to them, Manashaychu, Manashach, Iachona at Havalimanta Bechadayu, if I'm your brother, give me a chelik in the estate, the Ibar Mitzna'ana, Havalipalga, the public of Uchon Bechadai. Then give me the half that your father took when we split Reuven's estate, if I'm the son of Reuven. Right? Because then I would have had a right to the Reuven's full estate. So either way, I have a right to the property, therefore, I'm in, we're going to reverse the first din, and I'm going to Yarshin as the son of Shimon. So Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Kamdina. Rabbi Abba says the name of Rav Kamdina. The original din stands. You can't reverse it. He doesn't take a chelek as the son of Shimon because it's already been divided. He doesn't have a claim to say, give me that first chelek as the son of Reuven. Rather, we'll reverse that din, and then I'll take as the son of Shimon. You can't do that. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Hadadina. Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, no, he's right. Redo the first halacha. The situation has now changed. He's able to claim now the Yarshin as the son of Shimon and undo the first division. Kamdina, is the din stand, or is it, does it, Hadar Dina, does it go back? Lima plumped to the Adman Verabana, Kamifligi said they're arguing the Machlokes of Adman and the Rabbanan. Right? This idea of when a halacha is paskin, and then the situation later develops. Will we undo that original halacha to address the situation based on claims? Or will we say, you know, once the halacha has been addressed, it's been addressed, and a change in situation, a new development in situation, right, Shimon's subsequent death and division of his estate, in our case, will not allow you to undo the previous division, the previous halacha. Therefore, if we hold it, it's not able to be redone. He doesn't have a claim, well, give me back his half, right, because it was already possible, it was already done. Therefore, he doesn't have a claim to Yarshin as a Ben Shimon, because they could say, well, you're really a Suffolk. You don't necessarily have a real claim to our estate. You don't have a valid claim to get in. Okay, that's how that's working. So, do we go back on a din or not? So it's a machlok sadman and rabbanan. Commit for you. Did not as well in the Mishnah. Mishal halach l'medinas yam ba'avdal l'derech sadeh. A person owns a field surrounded by other fields owned by other people, and he goes into medinas yam. He goes away for three years. Or not 3 years. He goes away for 2 years. When he comes back, the corn has overgrown on his path. He doesn't know where that path was. He purchased the path in one of the surrounding fields to get into his field, and now he comes back and it's overgrown. He doesn't know where it is. So Adamon Amar Yilich B'Katsara. Adamon says he has a right, because he previously owned the path, he has a right to reestablish the shortest path possible among the surrounding fields. He has no idea where this is, where his path was. So he takes the shortest path among the surrounding fields to get into his field. The Chachamim Oimrim Yikach L'Derech B'Me'amana, or Yifrech B'Avi. The Chachamim say, no, he lost it. He's got to repurchase a field for whatever the price happens to be for it, or he has to fly into his field. He has the option of parachuting into his field. Fine. V'avinabal Rabbanan. So he asks, according to Rabbanan, Shabakamar Adamon, by the Rabbanan, what's wrong with what Adamon said? Right, that he has a right, he had a path. So Al-Kapanam, he had the shortest path, the smallest path is going to be cheaper than what he bought originally, so give him the smaller path. So, V'amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hocham of Mayaskinai, Kigon Shekifua, Arba B'nei Adam, Arba Ruchas. The case is here where four surrounding fields were owned by four people. If they were owned by four people, and you don't know whose field your original path was in, then you can't make a claim, because you don't have a certain claim against this one for path in his field, or that one for path in his field, because each one can say, well, who says it was my field? Who says? I don't owe you anything. So therefore, he's not able to reestablish that original path. So we say, Ihachi, if so, if the four surrounding fields are owned by four different people, and if he doesn't have a claim, I'd have the Adamon. Why would Adamon say that he has a right to a field, to a path to his field, and we'll give him the smallest path? There's different people, each one could be masking and say who says it was my field. Maybe it was in somebody else's. So we answered to that, Va'amarava, we're just, again, we're trying to find what are they arguing about. What's the case that they're arguing about? Va'amarava, Va'amarava, the Osama Koyach, Va'amarava, the Osama Koyach, Chod, Kuliyam, Lopligi, the Matsu Maske. Everybody agrees that because we have four fields surrounded by four, the four surrounding fields are owned by four separate people. Now, whether they were originally, when he left, owned by one person, or whether they were originally, when he left, owned by four people. Either way, the Matsu Maske, they can each push him off. And he's not going to be able to just have rights to a payas like he originally did, because each one could say who says it's in my field. If right now it's owned by four people, when he wants to make a claim, he can't do it. Everyone's going to agree to that. But kipligi b'chad dasim mikach arba, the machlokas is here. When he left, it was owned by four different people, and he wouldn't have had a claim at the time that he left. At the time that he lost that field, that corn overgrew, it was owned by four different owners. But now he wants to make the claim. Now it's owned by one person. They all sold their fields to one guy, so it's him, and he's surrounded by fields that are owned by one person. One guy bought them out. So on that they're arguing. Adamant holds that now, even though originally when he lost the field he wouldn't have had a claim, now he can say, well, either way, I know that I have a claim now. Mikol Malkam, my path is by you. Rabbanan say no, that owner can tell him, look, if you want to just, you know, keep quiet, fine. If you want to take me to Beis Din, well, then and claim a path against me, so then what I'll do is I'll sell back all the fields to the original owners, I'll give back the star to the original owners, and you won't be able to get your field. You won't have rights. I'll revert the situation to the previous situation when the original claim could have occurred, when you originally had this claim, and it'll go back to four separate owners, and you won't be able to do anything. So therefore, he doesn't have a right to the Rabbanan even against this one guy. Even though now the situation's changed, the situation could revert to a situation where he did not have the claim. So Lema say that Rabbi Abba that make the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yimi that make Adamon. Say Rabbi Abba holds like the Rabbanan that we do not say that although the situation changed, Kamdina, the situation existed at the time there was no claim. A change in the situation of four separate owners. Now the situation changed, there's one owner. It doesn't create a claim. Kamdina. The halacha would have been at that time, it was already set that there wasn't a claim. He couldn't have done it. Now there's one guy, the field's passed to one guy. Does a claim develop? Will the din that originally existed change given a change in the situation? Rabbi Abba would say no, like the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yimi would say yes, like Admon. Now he says, you can say, Mikol Makom, Darchi Gabachu, Akupon, my Darch is by you. And we say, really, it's not dependent. Amalacha, Rabbi Abba, Anadami, Filuka, Admon, I say even like Admon, we have like 30 seconds. Amalacha, Rabbi Abba, Anadami, Filuka, Admon, I say even like Admon, Adkan, look, Amar, that really even Admon, there he says that he has right to the field, will hold here that we do not allow him to say that, oh, give it the half back to me if I'm Ben Ruven, Alamai, I have a Vada claim in Shimon's estate, Lemmy Yoshin has Ben Shimon. Right, because Hesem, right, lo kamar Adam Hesem. Melam Mishum da'amel le'mamanoshach darchi gabachu avahochem meikul le'mehachi. Over there, he can say, I for sure have this by you, this set object, this path. I for sure have a path by you. But over here, he doesn't really have a vade claim to a specific thing. He could say, just le'mamanoshach, I get into the property either as a half for that half that he took as in the Reuben's estate, or as a Ben Shimon in the division of his estate. Avahochem meikul le'mehachi. Here, you don't have a vade claim. Rabbi Yibi amel lechon adam yafilu the rabbanan nesel kamar rabbanan nesem melam Mishum da'amel le'yishas k'shas k'zil le'mar ha'rvanash k'lam l'mrayi v'lamatzus l'shtu yidin v'adai avahochem meikul le'mehachi. Right? Or you can go with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah will tell you even the rabbanan will agree to me. Even the rabbanan will hold that the situation did not change over there. And now that there's one owner, you still don't have a right to it. Like you didn't have a right to it before. But that's because that original owner can say, this one owner can say, well, I'll revert it back to the previous situation. He can reverse the time. He can reverse that change. And therefore the din does not change. Because that original situation can always go back to it. It says, you want to do din with me? I'm going to give the star back to the original owners and you won't be able to have a right to the field. Over here, you can't reverse that situation, whatever happened already. So you're not going to have that halacha. Fine, and next time we'll start with a new case. Right. What is it?
4:30.
let me see tomorrow. If it was called for 5:45, we'll start 5:45, but I don't believe it. Yeah, I mean, let's start 5:45, whatever. Let's do 6. Let's do 5:55. We'll do 6. We should be able to do it.
Basically, a common situation. I bought all the fields around me. I'm trying to order you.